Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Well, where are you going to start this morning, Des?
I know, it's quite the weekend, isn't it, Jackie? Well, we'll start with the golf. Where better to start than Portrush? Play underway for an hour now at the Open Championship there. Let's go live to Greg Allen.
Yeah, it's a grey morning, some shafts of sunlight, and there's also the threat of more rain this afternoon. So a bit like yesterday, really, which was breezy and showery, but far from an extreme conditions sort of day, in which Roy Portrush actually was the winner, so to speak, because no one shot better than four under par, and there's a five-way tie for the lead on 67. Christian Bezuidenhout, Harris English, Jakob Olesen, Hautong Lee, and Matt Fitzpatrick. And the group, just one behind on three under, includes world number one Scottie Scheffler and Tyrrell Hatton. And tied for 20th place on one under par, just three off the lead, Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy. The latter finishing his round last night at around 9 o'clock after a pedestrian 5 hours and 53 minutes on the course. And apart from the length of it, Rory had a distinctly odd day. He was really wayward off the tee, only two fairways hit out of 14. And yet, having somehow got to three under par after 10 holes, he dropped all of those shots before he made a birdie 17 from the rough and signed for a 1 under par 70 after fighting so hard all day to stay in the picture. He was only seeing positives when he spoke afterwards.
Yeah, it was good. I had it going 3 under through 10, you know, and let a few slip there around the middle of the round. But I steadied the ship well, you know, played the last 4 and 1 under, and it was nice to shoot under par. I felt like once we turned for home, like play 10 and then turn back and play 11, the wind picked up a little bit and it just became that little bit more difficult. It was a tough enough day, especially either chopping out of the rough or out of the fairway bunkers most of the time. So to shoot under par was a good effort.
Yeah, McIlroy and one under on the course this morning just after 10 o'clock. Shane Lowry also had his ups and downs, but a late birdie also on the 17th left him also with a one under par 70. And it was a round that he was happy to get behind him.
I've fought with this round of golf in my head for a few weeks now, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And, the first tee shot was not that easy. I wasn't feeling very comfortable there, and I felt like I handled myself very well. And all day I felt like I handled myself really well. Obviously, days like today, you can really play your way out of tournaments, so nice to play my way into it today.
So Lowry one under par, underway at 3:10, and there's middle of the day starts for Tom McKibben on one over and Paddy Carrington and Darren Clark, both on four over par.
Another long day for you, Greg. Thanks. We'll hear more in an hour from Portrush. In Gaelic Games, Cork have named an unchanged team for Sunday's All-Ireland hurling final against Tipperary. Starting 15 is the same as the one that beat Dublin in the semi-final. Seamus Harnady and Cormac O'Brien rejoin the matchday panel following injuries. And we'll be hearing from Tipperary just after this bulletin. And of course, we'll have Up for the Match tomorrow night at 9:30. In soccer news, an excellent away win for St. Patrick's Athletic in the Europa Conference League. They beat Hegelmann 2-0 in Lithuania. Mason Melia scored one and set up the other goal for Kian Levy. It was a first ever victory by more than a single goal away from home in Europe for St. Pat's. They now play Nama Kalju from Estonia. Here's Kian Levy.
Now listen, it's just, we said that the first goal was so important in the game, so that we needed to start fast. I think the first 2 or 3 minutes they come out and we're a little bit on top, but then for us to get the goal early on was brilliant. The message was at half time that we need to, the next goal is crucial because you don't want to let them back into the game and give them a foothold. So as soon as you get that goal, you're 3 goals up. They have to score 3 goals, so you're comfortable then. Wins are built on clean sheets and defending from the front, and I thought we'd done a good job in our press because it was tough 3v2 at the top, but from top to bottom we were great.
Great sound effect there, Des.
I was just going to say, do you know, they're the St. Pat's fans in Lithuania. Like, in fairness, they had great support. Yeah, Shamrock Rovers now know they'll play St. Joseph's from Gibraltar in the second round of the Conference League. St. Joseph's beating Cliftonville last night. England came back from 2 goals down to draw 2-2 before beating Sweden 3-2 in a nail-biting penalty shootout to reach the semi-final of the Women's Euros. Not a great penalty shootout. There were 9 penalties missed. Sweden scored 2 out of 7. England got 3.
The game was good. I mean, England
came
back from 2-0 down.
It was a very exciting game. Yeah. And 2 goals in a minute and a half. It killed Sweden. It looked like there was going to be a shock, but that didn't happen. Tonight's tie, it's Spain against the host Switzerland. Also a busy night in the Sports Direct FEI Cup. 10 games down for decision. No all Premier Division ties. Full fixture list on the RTE website. In rugby, we're just over 24 hours away now from the first test between the Lions and Australia in Brisbane. And Neil Tracy joins us from there. Now, the Lions have dominated their game so far. Australia have injuries. Is this going to be a real contest, Neil?
You'd hope it is. And I think the worry is that if the Lions were to go on and win pretty comfortably this weekend, there would the entire series could deflate like a balloon, because the Joe Schmidt kind of said it yesterday in his press conference about how the Lions support is going to be outnumbering the Wallabies support at Suncorp Stadium. And he suggested that the Australian team, they need to start earning the support back of the public. Now, injuries aren't helping them. They've lost Will Skelton and Rob Valentini, two of their most powerful forwards, to injury over the last few weeks, and they haven't made it back for this weekend's game as well. Lachie Gleeson, who actually replaced Valentini in the team against Fiji a couple of weeks ago, he's also out injured as well. So that means they're down to their third string in the back row. But there's a strange sense of unease with the Lions around how they're actually dealing with this favourites tag. It's been quite strange to see that normally at the start of the training sessions, there's 10 or 15 minutes given over to the media to just watch the warm-up and capture a bit of video, capture a bit of content on the sidelines. But all of that has been closed off to specifically just the accredited photographers and to the rights holder media as well. And it's just kind of drawn up a bit of tension in the air around the Lions camp. There seems to be, I don't know, maybe they're trying to create a bit of a siege mentality around themselves, but it does give the impression that there are some nerves in the air, as much as they are overwhelming favourites this weekend.
Do you expect a comfortable Lions win?
Joe Schmidt has made a habit of making it difficult for Irish teams and making it difficult for Andy Farrell. And I wouldn't be absolutely stunned if this game went down to the last 10 or 15 minutes. But ultimately, I do think there's just too much talent in this Lions team. And you look at the team Andy Farrell has picked, and it seems to be a no-nonsense team. He's backed a lot of the players who've done it for him in the past or who have done it at test level in the past. There aren't too many wild card calls in there. He's gone back to the likes of Tadhg Byrne. He's gone to Tom Curry, two players who haven't been in exceptional form during this series, but who have proven in the past that they are what people would say are test match animals and really, really rise up to the big occasion. So I do think the Lions will do it, but I think the Wallabies can land a few blows.
All right, thanks, Neil. At the Tour de France, Tadej Pogacar delivered a brilliant display on the first true mountain test of this year's tour to retake the yellow jersey with a hugely impressive solo win. He now leads by 3.5 minutes from Jonas Vingegaard. Ireland's Ben Healy, who was in yellow at the start of the day, dropped to 11th in the GC, finishing the stage over 13.5 minutes behind Pogacar. Finally for now, today's racing action is at Down Royal and Killarney, and we'll have Donal Logue's preview of the hurling final in the next hour.